God calls us to wholeheartedly live for Him, to love people in the way that is truly centered on others. It's a love that bears all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Ladies, today on Gateway to Joy, Elizabeth Elliott shares another lesson in following the Master, the one who came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give His life as a ransom for many. Here's Elizabeth Elliott.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliott, doing a series on the life of Elizabeth Prentice. A long time ago, I recommended her book called Stepping Heavenward, a book written about 100 years ago. A wonderful story. It's supposedly fictional, but it is the diary of a young girl taken from the age of 16 all the way through engagement and marriage and motherhood, birth, death. It's highly instructive spiritually, and it is available, Elizabeth Prentice's Stepping Heavenward. But having read that book, I was fascinated, wanting to know more about her. And so then I learned that there was, in fact, a biography called The Life and Letters of Elizabeth Prentice. I'm delighted to be able to tell you that there is a new edition. The old one has long been out of print, but there is now a new edition of The Life of Elizabeth Prentice. She was the author of a hymn well known to many, More Love to Thee, O Christ. And I have an interesting letter from a lady named Kay Miller in Adams, Nebraska. She said, I just had to pause and write you a letter. I was surprised and thrilled to hear Elizabeth speak on the life and letters of Elizabeth Prentice. I didn't know there was anyone else in the world who knew about and appreciated Mrs. Prentice's story as I have since I was 15 years old. She has been my ideal through the years and has had a great influence on my life. Several years ago, when my husband and I were in New England, we were privileged to look up her old hometown of Dorset, Vermont. We contacted her great-grandson, who invited us to visit him at her old home. He gave us a tour of her home, which he has kept much as it was when she lived in it. He showed us a copy of all the books she has written and told us where she was buried. When I told him what an influence his great-grandmother was on my life, he was amazed that someone so far away would have heard of her. We visited the family graveyard and places mentioned in the book. No one can know how happy I am that I could visit Dorset, Vermont. It was a girlhood dream fulfilled. Someday, I would like to go again. It is still a hobby of mine to search old bookstores for her books and to share them with my friends. I have found enough old copies of The Life and Letters to give one to each of my three daughters. Well, as I said, The Life and Letters have now been reprinted. So I want to give you a taste, which I hope will whet your appetite. You've heard me talk more than once about the importance of Christian biography. Christian biographies really have helped greatly to shape my spiritual life. The Bible has some things to say about studying other people's lives. Hebrews 13:7 says, "Remember your leaders, those who first spoke God's message to you, and reflecting upon the outcome of their life and work, follow the example of their faith." Proverbs 2:20 says, "See then that you follow the footsteps of good men and keep to the course of the righteous." 2 John 11, "Do not imitate bad examples, but good ones." Philippians 3:17, "You have us for a model. Watch those whose way of life conforms to it. There are many whose way of life makes them enemies of the cross of Christ." I remind you again that the principles of the Word are not subject to individuals and to times and circumstances, but they retain their full validity everywhere and at all times. Biographies illustrate how differently God leads people. Through shady green pastures, some through the water, some through the flood, some through the fire, but all through the blood. Don't be discouraged or surprised. Be encouraged as you read of how God has watched over, cared for, and supplied the needs of Elizabeth Prentice, for example. Let me read my preface. which is in the new edition. The reading of Christian biographies has had an immeasurable influence in my own life and spiritual growth. To be able to study a life from beginning to end and see the hand of God guiding, correcting, and sustaining one who trusts Him has encouraged me to believe that true discipleship is possible, not only for the great figures of the Bible, but for us ordinary folks as well. The Bible exhorts us to remember our leaders, those who have spoken the Word of God to us. Elizabeth Prentice belongs, for me, in that category. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. She was born in Portland, Maine, in 1818, and died in 1878, 2 months before her 69th birthday. When I was a child, I learned her hymn, More Love to Thee, O Christ. Her book, Stepping Heavenward, purportedly a fictional woman's journal, which we can hardly help suspecting is to some extent autobiographical, came into my hands only a few years ago. I was both instructed and delighted by it and have strongly recommended it to many. More Love to Thee, which is the subtitle of the Life and Letters, reveals the character of a woman who loved God and earnestly sought to help others to love Him. Fortunately for us, she wrote, our faith does not entitle us to heaven any more than our stupidity shuts us out of it. When we get there, it will be through Him who loved us. Now I'm going to read you some passages from the biography. By far the strongest of all the impressions of her childhood related to her father. His presence was to her the happiest spot on earth, and any special expression of his affection would throw her into an ecstasy of delight. When he was away, she pined for his return. The children all send a great deal of love, and Elizabeth says, "Do tell Papa to come home," wrote her mother to him when she was 6 years old. Her recollections of her father were singularly vivid. She could describe minutely his domestic habits, how he looked and talked as he sat by the fireside or at the table, his delight in and skillful use of carpenter's tools, his ingenious devices for amusing her and diverting his own weariness as he lay sick in bed, for example, tearing up sheets of white paper into tiny bits and then letting her pour them out of the window to make believe it snowed, or counting all the bristles in a clothes brush. And then as she came in from school, holding it up and bidding her guess its number. His coolness and efficiency in their wild excitements of a conflagration. That means a fire for any of you children that are listening. The calm deliberation with which he walked past the horror-stricken lookers-on and cut the rope by which a suicide was suspended. These and other incidents she would recall a third of a century after his death, as if she had just heard of or witnessed them. To her child's imagination, his memory seemed to be invested with the triple halo of father, hero, and saint. A little picture of him was always near her. She never mentioned his name without tender affection and reverence. Nor is this at all strange. She was almost 9 years old when he died, and his influence during these years penetrated to her inmost being. Here's a letter from a friend of hers. I visited Portland and was an inmate of the Payson family. Elizabeth Prentice's maiden name was Payson, P-A-Y-S-O-N. So this friend is describing that. I visited Portland and was an inmate of his family at the commencement of the illness that finally proved fatal. He was not confined to his bed or to his room, but he was forbidden, indeed unable, to preach, unable to write or study. He could only read and think. Still, he did not shut himself up in his study with his sad thoughts. I remember him as usually seated with his book by the side of the fire, surrounded by his family, as if he would enjoy their society as long as possible. And the children's play was never hushed on his account. Nor did he forget the young visitor. When the elder daughter, to whom my visit was made, was at school, he would care for my entertainment by telling a story, or propounding a riddle, or providing an entertaining book to beguile the time till Louisa's return. Louisa was Elizabeth's sister. Among the group in that cheerful room, I remember Lizzie well, a beautiful child, slender, dark-eyed, light-footed, very quiet, evidently observant, but saying little, affectionate, and yet not demonstrative. And here's a letter written by Elizabeth herself. I have been busy all day, and am so tired I can scarcely hold a pen. Amidst the beating of eggs, the pounding of spices, the furious rolling of pastry of all degrees of shortness, the filling of pies with pumpkins, mincemeat, apples, and the like, the stoning of raisins and the washing of currants, the beating and baking of cake, and all the other ings, in all of which I have had my share, thoughts of your ladyship have somehow squeezed themselves in. We have really bidden adieu to Pumpkin Place, as Mrs. Willis calls it, and established ourselves in a house formerly occupied by old Parson Smith. So there's just a little glimpse of Lizzie in the kitchen, apparently whipping up the meal for Thanksgiving. Then she says, it is easier for you to write more often than it is for me. You have not got three tearing, growing brothers to mend and make for. I'm become quite expert in the arts of patching and darning. I'm going to get some pies and cake and raisins and other goodies to send to our girl's sick brother. If I had not so dear and happy a home, I should envy you yours. You say you do not remember whether I love music or not. I love it extravagantly, sometimes, but have not the knowledge to enjoy scientific performances. The simple melody of a single voice is my delight. Mrs. French, the Episcopal minister's wife, who is a great friend of ours and lives next door, so near that she and sister talk together out of their windows, has a baby 2 days old with black curly hair and black eyes, and I shall have a nice time with him this winter. Do you love babies? Well, that gives you a little glimpse of Elizabeth Prentice when she was just a child. We'll be reading more from her biography this week.
Anything, if offered to God, can and will become your gateway to joy. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.